FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's June 19th, 2017. I mean, we're almost done with half the year. Metals markets have been really interesting. They seem to have picked up, and volatility is up. And we want to talk with Peter Hug. Peter, you're Director of Global Trading at Kitco Metals, and you've been at this since 1974. So you're the institutional memory here. So probably the best person to speak with. So welcome back.
It's nice to be here. Thank you. Nice to be here again.
Yeah. So where are we here? The markets seem to be kind of going sideways recently. They're up, they're down, but it appears that around that 1245 mark for gold kind of is the bottom of the channel. You know, it looks like a real sideways channel kind of pattern.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the market in the perspective of the last few months, the market's been in a relatively tight channel. If you take the low of approximately 1210 with the high of 1292, I know that seems like a wide range. The market was moving up and trying to break through significant resistance at 1292, which would have brought in a $1,300 test about 10 days ago, when sort of the height of the issues with the Trump administration and the FBI investigation were sort of hitting the news on a daily basis. And, you know, that was causing some consternation in the equity markets. And so some of the fund managers were diversifying some of their capital out of equities and putting some into precious metals on a just in case basis. That has somewhat settled down over the past, say, week. Although the investigation is still ongoing and there might be some surprises still to come, that has settled down somewhat, and the equity markets have regained some traction, which has taken some of the luster off the precious metals market over the past week.
Mm-hmm. And what about the dollar? The dollar has been fairly weak, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, the dollar has been, and I think that accounted for some of the run-up that we've had in the month of May through the first part of June. The dollar has dropped approximately 5%, specifically against the yen, to some extent against the euro. And again, I think it was just capital that was being reallocated as the equity markets were under pressure. People were selling U.S. equities, they were buying European equities, converting their dollars from the sale of U.S. equities back into euros, which caused the dollar to weaken against the euro. Japan is the Japanese yen is considered to some extent sort of a safe haven currency, and when there was some of the unease and tension that was surrounding the global economy with North Korea, with some of the issues with Brexit, some of the terrorist attacks on the European continent, some of the capital flows moved into the yen as a safe haven play, and that also had an impact on the dollar. All of which was, in retrospect, over the past 3 or 4 weeks, somewhat bullish for the precious metals.
Yeah, interesting. And then the dollar. So we get another interest rate hike, and the dollar looks like it's going up a little bit. What do you think the effect of interest rate hikes on the bullion price has been?
There was some concern. There was about a 95% chance. We're talking historically now, but prior to the Fed moving last Wednesday, there were a number of traders in the metals market that were not totally convinced that Yellen was going to go the quarter point. And it wasn't that she didn't have a justification to go a quarter point, but the economy isn't exactly firing in the U.S. There was some negative inflation news that came out on Wednesday morning of last week, as well as consumer spending numbers that weren't as brisk as they thought they would be, and they thought the Fed might just hold off. Not so much because of the numbers, but they were the traders are concerned that, you know, this equity market and sort of the Fed's trajectory in interest rates is premised to a large extent on the Trump administration being successful with some of their fiscal policies, especially tax reform and health reform. And, you know, there's now question marks as to whether or not that's going to happen anytime soon because of the investigation, the FBI investigation. So there was some trepidation ahead of the Fed meeting that Yellen wouldn't move. When she did, she put in some hawkish language, which surprised the market. They thought that the Fed would move a quarter point last Wednesday, but then sort of toned down their language going forward, saying, now we want to wait. We're not sure we're going to move in September. We want to see if these fiscal policies are going to take place and what impact that's going to have on the economy. But she actually came out and was relatively hawkish and said, we like what we see. And we think inflation will hit our 2% target sometime in early 2018. So the market reacted to the fact that the Fed gave more of a hawkish outlook than they expected. And I think that's what caused some of the pressure on the metals in the short over the past 4 or 5 trading days.
Yeah. And do you have any opinion as to what's happening with these cryptocurrencies? I mean, it seems like an easy way to go public without any of the nonsense of bothering with regulatory authorities, you know, with these initial coin offerings and all this.
You know, I think there's, you know, if we're looking at Bitcoin or Ethereum, I think there's a potential that these things could go considerably higher. There's also a potential that, they could just literally fall out of bed and drop 50% in one day. It's really a demand-driven product. There is some rumors that Russia might be going into Bitcoin as an accepted form of payment sometime later this year, which I think will give it another boost. Again, it's highly speculative. It's hard for me to put a tangible value on Bitcoin, and justify whether it's worth $2,500, $5,000, or $200. So again, it's really not something I have a good feel for.
Yeah, I guess we're still in the early stages, the nascent markets, and nobody really has a feel for them. And you know, but it does bear a lot of resemblance to a bit of a mania, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you consider that in 2010, you could have bought $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, you'd be worth, in the 20 millions right now for that purchase. again, something like it's really difficult to put a valuation on it. I mean, if you wanted to buy Ethereum, you could have bought it a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago at about $90. It's trading at $270. So it's tripled in the last 10 days. Based on the techies that I speak to, they like that platform better than the Bitcoin platform. So if you wanted to take a shot, at least you're looking at something that's in the $200 range, not the $2,500 range, if you want to throw a little bit of money at it. But how you value this and, where it's going to stop, I have absolutely no idea. No idea. I mean, it could go crazy. There's people out there saying it could be worth $10,000, $100,000 Bitcoin I'm speaking of now. I really have no concept whether that's real or that's just fantasy. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of opinions. There's when you start reading articles that say Bitcoin and Ethereum are different, then you have to start wondering where have we seen that before, right?
Yeah. 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 I just have no basis for it to come up with a logical answer to your question. So to me, it's a flyer. If you want to take a shot, I would consider it lost money, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, if you wanted to get into Ethereum at whatever, 250 or wherever it is today, you want to drop $1,000 or a couple of $1,000 in there, I would look at it as, look, this is gone to the casino, and I'll wait for my number to be called and take a look at it every 3 months and make your decision from there. But go in it with the mindset that, this could blow up and your $2,000 could turn into $200 very quickly.
It could blow up at any moment, right?
Okay. Yeah, but it could also triple or quadruple from here. So again, it's a shot. So if you've got a little bit of play money on the side and you want to take a shot, but don't look at it every day. It'll drive you crazy. If it drops $50 the first day after you buy it and you sell it, the next day it might be up $300. So it's something, if you've got a little bit of play money you want to throw at it, give it 6 months to a year and see what happens. And, maybe you come out a winner on the other end.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting times, huh? Interesting times. So if you think for the remainder of the year, the second half, what's your feeling about where precious metals are heading?
You know, I'm not. I'm just not seeing the growth that the Fed is seeing in the U.S. market right now. I appreciate the fact that unemployment rates are under 5%, but I think that's got a lot to do with demographics. I'm not seeing what I'm looking for in the U.S. economy to make me a believer that the Fed is on the right track, raising interest rates on a continuous basis, would be productivity increases, and I'm not seeing that at all. And I think that's got a lot to do with technology. So, I'm not in the bullish camp of the Fed raising interest rates 3 or 4 times over the next year. I think they don't move in September. They may move in December. But again, a lot will depend on how successful Trump will be to get some of his initiatives through. And, his first plan on tax reduction down to 18%, I think, is a non-starter. I think they may cut some tax. I certainly don't think they have the votes, certainly not in the Senate. Certainly not from the Democrats, and maybe not enough from his own party to pass a comprehensive tax reform. Health reform, I think, is key before you can get even into the tax reform, and that right now is still up in the air. So there's a lot that's up in the air, and I think he's running out of time. I think he has until, I know this sounds like a long time, but I think he has maybe until March of 2018 to make this happen. After that, you're looking at congressional elections next year and everything is going to be on hold. And right. If he doesn't get any of these things done, the stock market has priced in perfection. They think everything is going to come to fruition that he has promised. I'm very skeptical that most of what he has promised will come to fruition, but the stock market has priced it in. The stock market gets disappointed. There's going to come a point when there's going to be a correction, and it could be a serious correction, 15, 20, maybe 25%. In that context, I could see the metals performing extremely well. So as a trader, I'm trading technical support and resistance levels. And as an investor, I would not be getting rid of my core holding in gold, my 5 or 10 or 15% of my asset base as a protection, as a hedge against my equity position. I would not be getting rid of it at these levels.
Interesting. And yeah, so the window of opportunity is closing up on us here, isn't it?
Well, he's already gone 6 months. He's done a lot of, executive decrees, but I mean, there's been no actual legislative processes that have gone through. And again, we really don't know. I think he'll probably be exonerated in the FBI investigation, mm-hmm. but this really takes a lot of time and has a lot of people focused in other places. And so it's difficult to get this sort of momentum going to get some of these major changes done while we're in the middle of this FBI process. So, we're coming into the summer. Summer, usually nothing happens with the Congress. They tend to be, at home more than they are in Washington. So you're looking possibly at the fall before some of these things occur. And they have to occur, and he has to get them passed before the elections next year, because if he loses... if he loses any more seats in the House or he loses more seats in the Senate, it'll be that much more difficult if he tries to put the legislation through in 2018.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So time is a waste, and we're just going to have to see what happens, what goes through. But if the disappointments are there, then the market really has no reason to keep going up, does it?
I wouldn't expect that. I think the equity market is overvalued if we don't get some of these major programs in place, like even the infrastructure program. I mean, I haven't heard any talk on that for the past couple of months. I mean, there's been virtually no communication from the administration on the infrastructure program. Mm-hmm. There's been nothing on tax dollar repatriation from overseas. So there's just a lot of unknowns. And I think that's what's holding the metals markets where they are. Because in a context of the economy doing well and some of these packages going through, it would be totally normal for the Fed to raise interest rates another point and a half over the next year, year and a half. That is generally a very negative backdrop for the metals. And in that context, gold at $1,250, in my opinion, would be overvalued. The fact that the fund managers are still aggressively buying gold at these levels indicates that they have a certain level of... I use the word insecurity, and they're using it as a hedge against their equity positions.
Yeah, Yeah, I see what you're saying there, and it makes sense. You know, the one thing though is you can't count Trump out ever.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not talking about selling all your equities and or, you know, selling all your gold. I'm certainly not saying that. But I'm just saying if he does everything perfectly and you've got 90% of your assets, you know, your disposable assets and equities, and you have 10% in gold and gold goes down, whatever, let's say, you know, $100, let's say gold drops 15% or 10%. You know, you're going to be out 1% on your gold position.
Right.
If you only have a 10% holding, but your equity position at 90% is probably going to gain 20 or 30%.
Easy. Yeah, easy. And the other thing is, when you look at the economy, what's happening with the auto sales, you know, auto sales are definitely not doing great, to say the least.
No.
Yeah,
and credit card debt is almost at a record high again. So I just don't get the sense that the economy is firing on all cylinders right now. And so, I think the Fed wants to talk up interest rates. What they need is some ammunition in case we go into another recession in a year or two. Mm-hmm. So they need some, they need higher interest rates so they'll have somewhere to cut and re-stimulate the economy. So, you know, it's almost like the Fed is raising interest rates in anticipation of having to lower them when the economy slows down. So that's the wrong reason to be raising interest rates.
Yeah, that isn't really a very far-sighted policy, is it?
Yeah, I think they got themselves in a corner, you know, and for credibility purposes, I think they just had to go in June because, you know, I mean, every Fed governor that was giving a speech, which they seem to do every second day, was indicating that they were happy with their targets. And so had they not moved last Wednesday, it would have given an impression to the market that they were worried about something.
Right.
So they pretty much had to move. The question is now, do they go in September again? And I think the jury is definitely out on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess you kind of have to hedge your bets because you just don't know what's going to happen here. You really don't.
And, you know, the irony of it is, you know, when you look at it from a North American perspective, and not so much from a Canadian perspective, but from a U.S. perspective, it sort of looks like gold's not doing much. And in actual fact, it's really not doing a lot. It is up 10% from the beginning of the year. But if you take it in terms of the euro and take it in terms of the pound, you know, the precious metals markets have actually done very well, and we're seeing a lot of physical demand coming out of Europe. We also started the Brexit negotiations today, which also could end in a disaster after May miscalculated on calling her early election. And we have we still have relatively large Chinese buying coming out of Hong Kong. Where we're not seeing the physical demand is in North America. And there's a lot of secondary gold and silver on the market, which is also sort of holding the price down somewhat against U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can change very quickly. In 2015, we had a similar scenario where there were a lot of supplies of silver, and silver dropped below $15 for a short time in July of 2015. And the big mints and the refineries didn't have large inventories, and the inventories virtually disappeared within a week, and premiums quadrupled on all physical product of silver, and silver ran back up almost $2.50 in the space of 3 weeks. We could be setting up for a similar scenario this summer.
Yeah, so it's real important on this channel whether they break up or down, right? And that'll show us the way it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're still advising our clients that any significant dips, if you're not in the market, would be a time to enter, especially if you're interested in the physical market. Because of the supplies of physical that are on the market right now, dealer premiums are at historic lows for small investment size bars and coins.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to enter the physical market, you can pick up some really good deals. Like, for example, 100-ounce silver bars usually trade at anywhere from $75 to $1.25 per ounce over the silver price.
Right.
You can pick them up as little as 25 to 40 cents over now because there's a good supply in the market.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of anomalies there. You know, the gold to silver ratio, silver to gold ratio, rather, really high. And, you know, like you said, the premiums are like really low, and, you know, it makes you wonder, like, there's four or five anomalies, the premium on junk silver, right? Is way down. So, you know, it makes you wonder.
And that's because of secondary supply. And what caused the secondary supply are, you know, basically as this market rallied since the beginning of the year, you've had investors, because there's been, since 2008 through 2011, when that spike happened, that major spike because of the financial crisis, there was just massive amounts. I mean, hundreds of millions of ounces of physical material sold into the North American market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, a lot of these investors have been sitting on these positions and watching the stock market go up and not participating. So what has happened over the past 6 months is they've taken some or all of their physical positions, which is very unusual in silver, and actually have sold that back into the market to generate cash and use that cash to get into the equity market. So that, you know, that makes me nervous when you get the retail side of the market selling and you get the fund managers buying, that indicates to me the market's got more upside than downside. Retail tends to be on the wrong side of the trade. It tends to sell at the low and buy at the high. And liquidating physical silver in small bars at these levels indicates to me almost an urgency to raise cash or an urgency to raise cash from the perspective of I need to get into another investment. That's usually a sign that the market may be closer to a bottom than a top, especially in silver.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Would make a lot of sense. So I guess we should keep reading your work over at Kitco to see where things are heading, huh?
Well, there's a lot of guys that, you know, provide commentary on our site, kitco.com, and there are as many bearish analysts out there as bullish analysts right now. It's just right now it's sort of a coin flip. When you read an analyst, though, make sure you're reading it from the right perspective. There are analysts that look at metals from a perspective of sort of a conservative portfolio where it's part of a portfolio. They tend to have a different slant than somebody that's a trader that really isn't married to a price. You know, they could be bullish at 9 in the morning and bearish at 9:10 in the morning. So you really need to understand what where the analyst is coming from and what his trading pattern is. Now, you know, if he's an active trader, the fact that he's bearish today doesn't mean you should liquidate your core holding in precious metals if they're used for an insurance position.
Right.
So again, you need to discern exactly what the motivation is behind the analyst. But there is so much material on Kitco.com. It's really worth taking the time, to read through a variety of opinions and then forming your own and making your decision accordingly.
Yeah, makes total sense, Peter. I appreciate you coming on. So best place to find your work, though, obviously, is on kitco.com. And if you got any questions for Peter or myself about this interview, anything else, email me, kl@carrylutz.com. The Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And Peter, I guess we'll just have to sit back and wait and let the markets tell us where they're heading.
Won't be long. Something's going to break one way or the other. The markets don't tend to stay in a channel for an extended period of time. And eventually, this is going to break one way or the other. And if it breaks down, I would suggest you might want to consider adding to your position. If it breaks up, I would probably wait until it got up through the 1290 level. And if we got gold up through 1290, I think it's got more legs on the upside, and we might see the mid to high 1300s coming up.
Interesting. Well, hey, we'll touch back with you in a couple of months, and we'll see what happened.
Okay. Gary, it was a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.